Our fall worship theme is love. This was requested by two members of the congregation, and you'll see in your bulletin there's an insert that lays out all of our worship topics from now through the end of November. There are some extras of those bulletin inserts in the back of the church as you exit. If you would want to give one of those to a neighbor or a friend and invite them to our church, and I hope that you will do that. So the first installment today, just basic love. We're going to be looking at a love that has existed since before the creation of the world. In John 17, 24, we come upon Jesus praying to God, and he says, "Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world." A couple other verses from 1 John chapter 3 and then chapter 4. "For this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another." In 1 John 4, "We love because he first loved us." Let us pray together. Lord Jesus, love seems so basic and so common, and yet it's so difficult. Help us to understand your words and to recommit ourselves to being your people who love this world, who love ourselves and one another, and most of all, who love and serve you in this community. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Apple Fest is just a couple of weeks away, a few weeks away. I can't wait to see what you guys are able to cook up for our little food table there. We're going to be doing some jams and jellies and preserves and pickles, but also some breads as well. And I know that our church is blessed with some wonderful cooks, and so I'm looking forward to what you will share with our community. My grandmother was quite the cook. She was an avid follower of Julia Child and just tried to do all kinds of fun things, and it was amazing to watch her in the kitchen. One year, she decided that she was going to make sourdough bread. And sourdough bread is not that easy to make. You know why? You have to have what they call a starter mix. You have to have some sort of a yeast or microbe mixture that you put into the dough to make the sourdough bread. And so you get your starter mix by collecting this, as Gabe said, yucky stuff that is just in the atmosphere in your kitchen or something, and it starts to work into the flour, and you get your starter mix going. And then you have to keep that starter mix going for weeks or months, however long you want, so that when you make sourdough bread again, you take some of that starter mix, put it into the flour, and get your sourdough bread. And so it's a very complicated process to make sourdough bread. If you can't get your starter mix started in one room of your house, like your kitchen, then you can take that to another room and see if the microbes are there or something. Get that starter mix going, and then you have to continue to feed it and nurture it because it is kind of a living thing, right? It's got that yeast or those microbes that are in there making it bubble and continue to make the bread rise, okay? This makes me think about love because in the same way, love is all around us, isn't it? When I shared the theme of our worship service, Love by God in a Loveless World, I got some puzzled looks from at least one person because I guess love is kind of common. What do you mean a loveless world? Love is everywhere. We know love. We enjoy love, right? But we need to recommit ourselves now more than ever. Somehow we've got to capture love. We've got to claim it. We've got to cultivate it in our own lives and in our church in this complex world, which is full of love, but it seems to me to be full of hate and strife and all kinds of things as well. So we're going to be going back to the very beginning today, okay, where Jesus says, "God, you loved me before the creation of the world. I'm a little bit intimidated by this task because going back to a time before creation even is a bit daunting. Particularly because you and me, we live in the right now, right? The land I live in is called today. What does love mean in my life and in this crazy nation that we are in right now, this crazy and wonderful nation that we're in right now? How do we love when relationships seem to be changing so much? I think we've got some clues here in John 17, and we can say that this love that we're going to be focusing on now is a baseline, love is an invitation, and love is also a person. Those three points are listed there for you in your bulletin. So first of all, love is a baseline. There's nothing more basic than bread, right? Nothing more basic than love. Even sourdough bread itself has been found in Egyptian records going back 4,000 years before Christ. 4,000 years before Jesus was ever born, people were getting their starter mix started and putting that into the bread to make bread rise. So for millennia, bread has been the basic diet for many of us. It's so basic that I'm going to try and experiment on you right now. I'm going to hold up a product for you, imported from Hannaford Brothers. And I bet you will know what this is.
Wonder Bread.
Wonder Bread. Yeah, I've got it covered here so that you can't see the label. How do you know this is a loaf of Wonder Bread? Because it's been around forever, right? This is Wonder Bread. As a matter of fact, I'm going to leave this in the front of the church, and if somebody wants to adopt this and take it home, it is fresh. You may do that, but like so many Americans now, we have gone on to different kinds of bread, right? So this is the first loaf of Wonder Bread I bought, and while as I went to Hannaford, I wondered even, do they still sell this? And they do. It's been around since 1921. And the little colorful dots here are because Elmer Klein, who was charged to come up with the name for it, went to a hot air balloon festival and saw all the balloons and was filled with wonder. And he said, that's what we'll call it Wonder Bread. So please, somebody adopt this. Somebody want it now? Somebody want to claim it? No? No hands went up. No fighting after church over the Wonder Bread. The loaf of Wonder Bread. I don't know what I'm going to do with that if nobody takes that home.
Give it to the birds.
We can talk about birds later. And the nutritional value, the things that they actually need. Anyway, our lives need love, don't they? Our lives run on love. You know, if we strip away all the extra fluff in our life, we're going to come back to this baseline of love. And Jesus, going back, stripping away all of creation and everything and pulling back the windows of time, shows us that love was around even before the creation of the world. So before there were houses or cars or computer, there was love. Before there were the glories of Maine, before our lakes and our trees and all the beauty around us, there was love. Before there was anything at all, imagine just nothing at all, there were four things in the universe: Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and love. The three of them existing in a perfect relationship, loving one another. And then they got the idea, this is so wonderful, let's share it, let's make this a world. And they made you and I, they made Maine, and now we all share in this amazing love. It is the most important thing in all of the universe, obviously, if it was there before Maine was. I think Maine's pretty cool, right? So even before the glories of this world, there was love. But now we live in a world that's changing so fast, it's hard to keep up with it. No matter how much it changes, people, we know that our neighbors are still going to need love, right? No matter who moves into our community or who moves out, these people are going to need relationships. They need acceptance. Many of them will have some hole in their very being, and that can only be filled with love. Our church is changing. Church is not the same as it was back in 1921 when Wonder Bread was created. But we know that no matter what's coming down the pipe, people are still going to need love. Just like the body needs bread, so love needs to be our bread and butter, as we say, right? So we're into the fall now. We're going to be gearing up the nominating committee soon. We'll be working on our 2018 budget. We need to ask ourselves in every program that we undertake, everything that we do, every jar of jam that we request to be made, that it be filled with love and motivated by love. We've got to ask ourselves, what's love got to do with this? How can we make love the baseline of all of our programs? And I want to challenge you, as I challenge myself too, before you say a word, before anything comes out of your mouth, before you take any action, to ask yourself, how is love motivating me? How is love the reason for what I'm about to do or to say? Love has got to be our baseline. Love is also an invitation. Perhaps the most amazing word there in verse 24 is W-A-N-T, want. Imagine Jesus saying that, Father, I want those. I want them. I want them to be with me. I want them to know this love, to hear the God of the universe, the creator of Maine, say, I want them. That is amazing stuff. Here's something unusual you can do with bread, okay? Maybe the most unusual use of bread you've ever heard of. If you know somebody who's going to be selling their house, and it's having people come over to look at it for a showing or a viewing, have them put a loaf of bread in the oven. You can just buy the frozen dough at Hannaford's or Yellow Front. And put it in the oven. Turn the oven on. Why is that an idea for selling your house? Why? What difference is that going to make? Huh?
Sweet aroma.
The sweet aroma, right? There is nothing like the smell of baking bread. And people are going to come into that house for sale and say, I want this house. I can live in this house. I can see myself living here. Realtors will also tell you, if you don't have a loaf of bread or frozen loaf, to even cut an onion in half and put that in the oven and turn the oven on, because just the smell of an onion that's baking or something is going to make that house seem more inviting, more homey. And that's what love has got to be for us. We've got to be like our Lord Jesus Christ. When we approach anyone in our community, anyone in our families, and some of them challenge us, don't they?
Yes.
I like that feedback. I like that, and that yes. You're going to have to look them in the eye and in the spirit of Jesus and say, I want you. I want you in my family. I want you to know the love of Jesus. I want you to be happy. I want you to live a full life, the full and abundant life that Jesus talks about in John 10. We've got to invite these people in. This is God's will. One of the most amazing verses in all of the New Testament is printed on the back of your bulletin there, 2 Peter 3:9. It dumbfounds me every time I read it. 2 Peter 3:9. Somebody want to read that out for us? 2 Peter 3:9. What does that say? The Lord
is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance.
I like that. And there's that want word again, right? God not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. This is his will. God is not about pushing people away. He's about pulling people in and loving them. That doesn't mean we approve of everything that happens, but you've got to honestly say that you love people, that you want them, that you want to pull will live in. So you're going to be inviting people to our church. Thank you very much. You might invite someone to read a Christian book. Lots of people get ideas and it gets them thinking if they read a Christian book. But make sure that you invite people to Jesus. There aren't too many verses that talk about inviting people to church. There aren't too many verses that talk about reading Christian books, but there are lots that talk about how God invites people to come to Him, wants people there, wants people in His presence. So we've got to be a church inviting people to Jesus. And that's our last point. The most amazing thing, I try and say the best for last, about love is that it is a person. You know, whenever I talk about bread, I think about people. I don't know, you've got to, bread just, I can't imagine being in a Wonder Bread factory and just watching those things get squirted out of a machine and into an oven or something. But when I think about bread and the best bread there is, I think about people. I think about my grandma who ran around the house trying to get that starter mix started for her sourdough bread. I think about my wife who makes a killer potato caraway bread using leftover mashed potatoes, caraway seeds. Good bread. And now I think more and more about our new neighbors, the newest bread store in our county here, where Route 32 connects up with Route 17. What's going on there? The Amish family are living there. They bought one of those rundown farmhouses and are doing an amazing job restoring it. And the lady of the house sells breads and pot holders and all kinds of things. And it's so amazing to stop there and buy bread. I know some of you have done that. And I recommend others as well. And you get to meet and wonder, you know, what is it like to be Amish? What are their lives like? You want that connection with a person, and bread gives us that. And when you go out into this community starting this afternoon, you've got to be giving a connection to a person. We are not, as Christians, when we go out into the world sharing a philosophy, an idea, a program, so much as a living person. And that needs to make all the difference in the world. A lot of you, if I were to ask you to summarize the gospel, to summarize Christianity in one phrase, you would probably say, God is love, right? You're taking a person and equating them with love. And that makes a lot of difference. It's not an idea, it's not a program, it's not a religion, it's not a slogan, it's not a cute quote. Let me just tell you a little bit why this is so radical. Because some of you are thinking, I love a person. I love my family, or I love my spouse, or what love is, of course, we love people. This love is anchored on the most important person that's ever lived. In fact, in your bulletin there, I've got a person with a capital P. So you might have a relationship with a person who will be unfaithful to you, or who will turn their back on you. This person will not. He is the Lord of the universe. His love for you is unending, and that love is based on Him as a person. You might love someone but find that they seem to be in the relationship more for what they can get out of it, or get out of you, right? And is that a kind of a, is that a good relationship? This person here, because of the authority and the power and the love of Jesus Christ, will go to any length for you. And that makes all the difference in the world. He loves you enough to give His life for you. And that's what we're going to be celebrating now, isn't it? With this bread, we are going to be remembering His body. With this juice, we will be remembering His blood, which makes us clean. Because love is a person. It's our baseline for all we do. It's got to be an invitation, and it's got to be a person. Let's gather at this table now and remember Him. We'll sing together hymn number 262. Make it your prayer, will you? My Jesus, I love Thee. Please stand to sing. Number